This is the Maternity Matters podcast from Riley Children's Health. Discussions to help you along the journey from the first trimester to your child's first year. Hey everyone, Gabby Reith-Miller here from the Riley social media team. And this week, we're going to be talking about our patients that require a stay in the NICU after birth. We're of course talking about our little babies that just need that additional care after delivery. And to talk about that this week, I'm joined by Beth DeHoff, who's part of our NICU Nest team. So Beth, tell us a little bit about what you do as part of the Nest team and the support that you guys are able to provide.
Sure. Happy to join you today, Gabby. So I am with the NICU Nest Family Support Team, and we have staff at Riley NICU, the Methodist NICU, which is soon to come to Riley, and also at Eskenazi. And so I am able to help families through personal experience and professional training. So we are all families of, or parents, in our case, mothers of children who have had NICU stays, PICU stays, or we've had loss. Several of us are parents of children with lifelong disabilities. And so we have ourselves, as I tell parents, sat in their chair and worried about our own children, and so can relate to them on a very personal point of view. I myself have been in the role at University Hospital back when there was a special care nursery there, at Methodist Hospital, and for about the last 6 years at Riley. So I have a total of a little over 10 years in the program. And we are happy to work with the team and with families for their communication and for helping families to weather the ups and downs of the NICU, and also to wrap supports around them so that they have, whether it's healthcare financing or other supportive programs, they have the systems and supports they need, not only in the NICU, but once they go home.
Yeah, and there are basically two routes how a family ends up in the NICU, right? There's the one path of a family that gets a prenatal diagnosis that knows that their child will likely need the NICU once they're born. And then the families that are caught by surprise at delivery, something's going on and their child needs that additional care. So tell me about that arrival at the NICU and how those experiences can really differ for families and how you guys are there for them no matter what lands them there.
Right. So Riley is in the unique position of our NICU only has babies from other places, because until next month, we don't have deliveries at Riley. That's soon to change. But our families always come from an outside hospital. Several of them get a prenatal diagnosis during pregnancy. And several of us have had that experience too. So we're able to provide parent-to-parent support in that situation, as well as hook them up ahead of time with some programs that will help them. And we have a staff member, Courtney Espinoza, who specifically works with our prenatally diagnosed and prenatally hospitalized moms. And so she's able to start our support right there before baby's even born. And then that continues when they get to the NICU. So on one hand, those parents have a lot of worries in pregnancy. I remember I had a prenatal diagnosis too. On the other hand, they get prepared. So the flip side of that is you think everything's going to be fine, and then your baby has trouble once they're born and you end up in a Riley NICU. That is less stress during the pregnancy, but boy, is that stressful as a new parent who thinks they're going to be in the hospital for 2 days and take their baby home, and then they end up in the Riley NICU, potentially hours from home or sometimes nearby. But those are two very different paths to come into the NICU, and they both carry their own stressors and advantages, if you will.
And once a family does arrive into that NICU, it can likely feel like a whirlwind, right? They've just welcomed their little one, but they're thrust into this world of the hospital. What do you guys do to help them feel oriented and as calm as it can possibly be in what is a stressful situation?
Sure. And families tell us that this is a very critical point when they come into the NICU, who they meet, that they understand what things are and who people are. There's just so much to absorb. So there are a number of things that our whole NICU team does to help families sort of orient to the NICU. And that can start ahead of time with a phone call to the parents often. There's a new approach of a text that they get with some information about registering in the NICU and some services available in the NICU. We, as a NICU Nest support team, greet them with some orientation materials about all the services we provide and just some support to say, so do you know, have you gotten some support for pumping, for breastfeeding? Have you met our lactation consultants? Do you know where to park? And have you gotten your free parking passes? Do you know how to order food? Do you know where you're going to stay? Do you need a referral to the Ronald McDonald House or some other place that you can stay? So a lot of what we do is to, with the support and participation of the entire interdisciplinary NICU team, try to make them feel welcome, informed, and reassured to the point that we can. Parents tell us that this is a super overwhelming time. And so we encourage families to give themselves a little grace and ask as many questions as they need to.
As you were mentioning, things as simple as knowing where to park, where to eat while they're in the hospital, all of those things, it highlights that the NICU kind of becomes home for these families. A lot of them are there around the clock or as much as they can be, especially if they live far away. Do you find that you guys are part of that village that supports them because their extended family that would normally be there if they were home can't be in the hospital room with them? Tell me a little bit about that role that you guys play.
Sure. For our families with short stays, it's just getting them what they need to get through the experience. But several of our families have very long stays. It is counterintuitive at first. You're meant to hold your baby and take your baby home. And so being surrounded by all these people is overwhelming, but over time, as they get to know us, we are kind of an extended family for them. We've got team members that take great care of our babies and keep our families informed as to what's going on with their babies and keep our families informed and consenting and figuring out what's next. And we just try to check in on them regularly, help them get what they need and normalize this experience. Families tell us that it just helps to talk to somebody who gets it. And so that's where a lot of our experience as parents comes in, is that they feel that someone understands what they're going through and that they're not alone. And it's like this whole other family that they develop, but it takes a while to get there. And we just encourage parents to take it a day at a time or a moment at a time if they need to.
Yeah, and I'm sure it means so much to them to have you guys there. For those parents that, you know, are there for a while, the normalizing aspect is key because you bring your baby home from the hospital normally, and you just kind of learn how to parent. You learn how to care for them and do the bottles and diaper changes. But sometimes with a NICU stay, there are limitations to the things that parents can do for care. So how do you all help guide them in empowering them to take on that role and be involved day to day in all those details while still following the guidelines to protect a baby who's got a medically complicated case?
Sure. I often tell parents it's their new normal. Nothing feels normal about it, but it becomes your new normal and you have to figure out how to cope. And parents often tell us that they are not sure how to be a parent to their baby in the NICU. And so we do spend time trying to help them figure that out. We have recently developed through my colleague, Rachel Scott, some magnets that actually visually tell families what is safe to do with their baby. So if it's safe to hold your baby, there's a magnet there that tells you that. If it's safe to read to your baby, there's a magnet that tells you that. So that's one way we do that. We also just encourage parents. I always tell parents that the medical team knows medicine way better than they do, but they know their baby the best of anyone. And so they're an important part of their care team. We encourage them when the physician team's round to come up and listen to what's going on and ask questions. We encourage them to befriend their nurses, which isn't hard. Their nurses are sometimes the most important people because they're right there with their baby and the family a lot. And there are ways to participate in baby's care, regardless of where they're at. If baby's a little bigger and there are bath times and feeding times, if you can hold the baby and do skin-to-skin care, those are all great things to do in the NICU to parent. But even our tiny preemies who can't be held yet, or people or babies who have, high ventilator support or something that can't be held right then, there are lots of other things that parents can do. They can read to their babies. They can sing to their babies. They can touch them through the portal if it's safe. And our both the little magnets, but mostly our nurses are right there to help them know what's safe and how that they can participate in care. And if they want to participate, we encourage them to tell their nurses that and figure out how that can happen.
Yeah, that's good to know for anyone listening that is perhaps preparing for a NICU stay. And for the parents that are there with their babies for an extended stay, there can be less focus on them caring for themselves throughout all of this, right? Because all of the attention that they have is on caring for their little one, trying to get through this difficult time. But is there a reason for these parents to also take a little bit of time at least to do some self-care and do things for themselves as they navigate this whole world of the NICU?
Absolutely. It's something we talk with parents about a lot. As parents, we kind of are hardwired to self-sacrifice for our kids. And at any stage of life, if that's all you're focused on, that can get you in a bit of trouble. But particularly in the NICU, I talk a lot to moms about, are you getting rest? Are you eating? Are you getting water? Are you hydrating? Those are important for self-care. They're also important for breastfeeding moms to maintain a milk supply. We try to normalize too. It's okay to stay and it's okay to go. So if you want to sleep in the room and stay there 24/7, you can do that. But I might encourage moms to think about maybe every now and then you can go home and get some good rest, or maybe during the day you can go take a walk out on the garden area. So there are ways to kind of pace yourself, and we encourage parents to do that, because if they get overtired, they can get sick and not be able to come in, and they can get depleted to the point where it's just really hard to do all this. So it's important parents pace themselves, and we try to help them give themselves permission to take some time for themselves.
Yeah, such an important reminder there, so that they can be strong for their babies if they're taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And a huge milestone that I've had the opportunity to witness is when these babies and families get to go home after a NICU stay, whether it's a short one or a long one. It just means a lot to these families to get back to their own space and everything. But I'm sure for some, it can also come with anxiety because they've had a medical team on standby for a while since their baby was born, and suddenly they're on their own, right? Heading home. How do you all support them through that? Because it's such a mixture of emotions, I imagine.
It is. Every family has the one main goal, and that's to get home, to take their baby home. And everything we do in the NICU is meant to get them to that point. But for, especially for families who have been in the NICU a really long time, that is a huge change. And if your baby's going home with some needs, like on oxygen or on a feeding tube or something like that, with medical needs, medical follow-ups, it can be intimidating to be the one who's solely in care of solely caring for your child. So there are a number of things we do to prepare families for that. There's a lot of training. So if they have to manage those things, that they are trained and know exactly how to do them. There's also what we call parent care, where they can take care of their baby 24/7 over a period of time in the NICU, and the nurses are around if you have questions, but really you're kind of doing that on your own, and that helps empower them to know that they can do it on their own. But I talk to families. We send mailings out to families after they discharge, and I talk to a number of them after they get home. We're one of the services that will follow families after they leave. And it can be tough. I talked to a mom just the other day who said she thinks that her baby is missing the red shirts because all the nurses wear red scrubs on their tops are red. And so she said she and her baby both were missing the red shirts.
I think it was such really a part sweet. Of their routine. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like we talked before, this is part of their extended family, and that part of the family is gone. And there's always been a nurse around to say, okay, the monitor's beeping, but you don't have to worry about that. So they have to learn that for themselves. And they've also gone from a place that has lots of people around them to maybe it's just them and the baby at home. And so it's a huge culture shift. And we do lots of things to try to help them prepare for that. And we remain available for support. And we also connect families who have extra needs with family to family organizations like About Special Kids or Family Voices Indiana, who can provide some program and parent support in their own communities.
That's amazing that the support continues even as they leave the hospital. And Beth, as we wrap up here, I just want to ask you if there is any other message that you want to share with a family that perhaps just got to the NICU or is expecting to have some time there once their baby arrives.
Sure. I want them to know that there are people ready and willing and feeling privileged to help them. My best parent advice is to take a day at a time or a moment at a time when you need to write down your questions, because you'll forget them. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions again. You're gonna have some meetings with doctors and people, and then they're gonna leave and you're gonna say, what did we talk about? It is okay to call them back in the room and ask them the same questions over again. We want you to be informed, and we also want you to feel supported. So the main thing I want you to know is don't hesitate to tell us what you need. There's lots of people interested in making this the best possible experience that you can have.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Beth, and for taking the time to just give us a little insight into how things go once families do arrive in the NICU, and the work that you guys do makes such a big difference. So really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for checking in, and we welcome people to let us know if they have questions or needs.